making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, that's my good buddy Bob Saget. Shut up, Sarge.
Quit it now!
Keep on rolling, keep on rolling. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Graham. It's going to be one of those kinds of days.
Sure is.
Friday before a long weekend.
No, Sarge, everybody's tempers
long
are flaring.
You okay, Zo?
Fred got out at 9:59 on the nose. Walk's ready to leave.
You doing okay, Zo?
Doing great.
All right. I know you were a little hot last night.
A little hot last night.
A little hot.
Had nothing to do with Royale security. It was league security. For whatever reason. Boston Bruins and Fred couldn't get in. Some issues, man, with that place last night.
Yeah.
Now they're a good team, very popular team.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Just didn't realize, like, we were protecting Tom Brady and the President of the United States last night. Whew! Mr. Ball Guy with his earpiece in, he had himself a night. Yeah, they got their money's worth with that guy. That's, yeah, bulldog. Good bulldog there. Yeah, dumbass. Relax, pal. A little He-Man security man.
So you want to tell everybody? Did you tell everyone what happened already or no?
No.
Tried to say hello to Charlie McAvoy.
Say, hey, kid. You know, like, wow, look at that little baby face, man. He does get that little chubby baby face. He was talking to Winship over there, our head of sales. And went over there just me. Hey, back. No. Who are you? Who, me? Yeah. Who are you? Me? I'm the guy that's leaving. Now. Right now. I'm not in the warm. No more of this. The guy followed me around. I like, back up. I'm like, well, they told me to go there. Then they tell me to go there. Then I go to here. And then Kelly's telling me, go over here. And I go in there. And then he's like, get out of there. And I'm like, okay. You guys have a great night. Bruins are great, though.
Well.
It's good seeing Bergeron and the crew. We did stuff with him.
Good job by everybody.
Ago.
A lot of Krug, money raised.
Our guy, Tori Krug, saw him talk some Russian with Chada. You know, and he's like there. He's an interesting dude. Pretty cool cat. But they did a great job. They always do. They always.
Can you back up, please?
Pardon me?
You spoke Russian with.
I said, nice to meet you. Yeah, like, hey. He's like, oh, you Russian? Yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not really.
How many languages does he speak? I've heard this before.
Seven. He speaks seven languages.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Not me. English. American.
So what did you say to him?
I don't know a couple words in Russian from Russian being Russian Orthodox. You know, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one. That's one word.
Christos Kras, Christos Oneste, you know. Yeah. And he said, okay. I said, you drink vodka.
You said that. Or
none of this happened.
Yeah.
This is all
no, it did.
BS.
It did. Backstage.
This did not happen.
Yeah, it did.
No way.
Yeah, it did.
Well, Zoe gets into that stream of consciousness. It's kind of like a Lloyd Dobler say anything nervous talking thing.
Yeah,
and I can see him doing it. I've seen him do it in front of Brady.
Yep.
I could see him doing it in front of Chara, where you just keep talking to kind of.
You can't have
the uncomfortable silence.
No, I got to be. I blend. I try and make myself blend. I get in there, and it's not like I'm going to beat a stick in the mud, right? And this is my opening thought for today. We're going to do these, okay?
Opening thoughts.
And my opening thoughts.
Brand new.
And I'm sitting there, and I get in the back, and then talking to Tuca, and we're talking about the Metallica concert and this, and they go over there and say hey to Marshan, or talking with him, and kind of mixing it up. And then we're looking around, I'm like, Jesus, you guys are young. Not them, meaning them, but the team. And seeing the kids, you finally get around, you know, McAvoy and Heinen. Who beat me in ping pong? Dan and Heinen. Little squirt. And he's like, yeah. He's like, we're young, man. He says, we're young, but we're pretty damn good. And it hit like, wow, they have an older core and they have a very, very young core. There's no like mix. Tory Krug told us the other day, we got a good mix of guys. There's really no mix.
There's no one in the middle.
There's no middle, man. I mean, these kids.
Is it Krug in the middle?
Not anymore to me. He's more of a 4-4, 5-year guy now. He's vested.
Well, he's not an old guy, though.
No, but I mean, he's 26.
20s. Right. He's 26.
Remember when Lucic was here?
He's not 30. He's not 21. He's not a kid. He's not one of the older guys.
Remember when Lucic left and he was 27 when he left here?
Where's your middle guy?
Feels like Lucic is like
he
31.
Felt older.
Like he's been here forever.
Yes.
And he was like 27.
Well, he's skated like a much older player.
But this team, and they're a good team. There's extremely young guys,
good
and then
team.
There's the older vets. There's no middle.
Krug, I just told you who the middle is.
He's not the middle. Are you buying Krug?
He's 26.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
26.
I mean, he's such a... We say to him, because especially Zoe, you and I are of a certain age, he's a good kid. He's a nice kid.
Well, I call him all kids.
He's not a kid anymore.
No.
By NHL standards. He's in the middle.
He's in the middle.
So that's your opening... What is your opening thought then? There's no middle. That's your opening thought?
No, but, I mean, but the older guys, the core that
Bruins
was here when they won, you know, when you talk about when they're going to get back, when are they getting back, and you go back to last year, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, you weren't here. It was just a year ago that, you know, they asked for time and patience. Remember Cam Neely, one of Felger Messes, just asking people for time and patience. And quickly, they put this thing together, and it shows you that, you know, Sweeney and company, that they could draft well. You know, the coach is good. He's getting them to play hard. That
it's amazing.
Make changes. That it was fixed so quickly. Meaning that this is a good team. Enjoy it. It seems like a good bunch of guys. But there's a clear separation between the young. You just watch them in a room and watch them work the room. The young guys stick together. The old guys stick together. It's like that on teams. And there's no middling. And I know you say Krug's a middle guy, but... Yeah, I guess so.
He's middle.
It's amazing that when teams admit to having a certain amount of bridginess to them, whether it's last year's Bruins team that performed way better than I think people thought they were going to, maybe not everybody. I didn't think they were going to have the turnaround after Claude was replaced. But you go back to the 2013 Red Sox, they were pretty much admitted to being a bridge team. They didn't say anything about them, you know, going out and winning it all. With that squad?
No, I don't think so.
No, I mean, it was pretty much accepted. When there's a level of acceptance with the team where they are in the building or rebuilding process, that's when the success happens. It's when teams
right now for the Bruins.
Yeah, because they would still say they're not where they want to be. No, we're building. It's a process. But they're having all this success. You could even put last year's Celtics in that category. Did the Celtics think they had arrived and had the roster that they wanted and needed to compete and go to the Eastern Conference Finals and actually take a game from Cleveland? No. I don't think they thought of themselves at the beginning of last season as being a number one seed in the East type of team. It's when you least expect it. And when you're kind of accepting of your role as being, you know, on the rise, that good things can happen. When teams try and sell you on the fact that, no, this is what we want, this is what we've got, we can succeed with this team. Those are the teams that don't succeed as much.
All right, so that's Zoe's take. Bruins, good. Young guys, old guys, good.
Babyface Bruins, good.
Go.
So it's nice to see the veterans, but, I mean, it's a young man. This team's got a chance to be pretty good for a while.
What's your opening thought, Beetle?
Mine's going to be on Major League Baseball pace of play, but I think we'll probably want to hold off on that, but
yeah.
I can get into it right now
if you'd
like.
Just throw it out there.
Get right into
get
this.
Get people thinking about it.
It's coming.
This is a Felger and Mazz thing, opening thoughts.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday before a long weekend, and, well, it's a little bit
like, what's the story
right
today?
Now.
Come in today, what's the story?
Little
what's the story?
To get to. A lot of little things. No big, overwhelming story right now.
Well, we're going up against a national football show, man. We got to be on our game today.
Skeleton. A lot of skeleton
going up against good cowboy talk with Tony Dungy. Come on.
Pace of play baseball, that's your opening thought?
Well, I want to get to a couple of baseball items.
Sounds like
mind.
A topic. That doesn't sound like a thought.
Well, I just want to let everyone know that it's happening.
Red Sox got jelly knee back.
And that Rob Manfred is becoming my favorite sports league commissioner more and more all the time. Because Rob Manfred, back in late January, announced that he was frustrated with the Players Association and talked at a press conference at owners' meetings to go over a bunch of different proposals. He put out a proposal that would involve no pitch clock for 2019, provided that the average time of 9-inning games does not exceed 2 hours and 55 minutes.
Yes.
So he said, okay, if you go out in 2018 and you guys move it along on your own, okay, you'll have the opportunity to move it along. If you guys go out this year and you play your games, and at the end of the year the major league average is under 255, no pitch clock. We'll put it off into the future. We won't get to it. The players had until February 12th to accept the offer that there would not be a pitch clock in 2018, and perhaps through 2021, as long as they kept moving it along.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, this was all just in good faith because he's under no obligation to offer them any of these things. So what do you think the players did?
Said, screw you.
Sat on it and didn't give him an answer.
Yeah.
Said, nah, whatever.
Yeah. Ignored it.
Basically.
The problem will go away.
And now here comes Rob Manfred, and pace of play rule changes are coming to Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that. That is coming up, along with one Red Sox player who's disagreeing openly with two of his teammates. Jackie Bradley Jr. has spoken, and he is disagreeing publicly with both Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts.
Oh.
There is a public disagreement among Red Sox players. We'll talk about that coming up next as well.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I definitely believe we're all learning from last year. We had a lot of stuff going on last year, to be honest. And we all live, learn, and move forward. You know, we can't just sit back and keep reminding ourselves about the past because it's not something you really would want to do.
I think that our off-air discussions
it's better than
clean
the show.
Enough for air.
That was a really good four-minute discussion on boats.
And it's like a three-minute discussion on the most random of topics. But I feel like we should get a stream just for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that everybody would be into it,
like,
but our real
sensor.
Hardcore listeners would be into the stupid crap we talk about off the air. That's all I want to say. There's got to be a way that we can do that somehow.
Yeah, this just
it was good meeting some of the hardcores last night.
Can we podcast it later? I mean,
little freer with the language.
Yes, yeah, maybe like an after show podcast.
Okay, we call it "F it."
We roll. Yeah. We roll on the brakes.
Every other
F
word,
it, right?
Every other word.
You mean, so you don't have to stay later to do it after the show.
Shut
you
up, Jim. No, but you're not even in this discussion. You were
no. That's what we're saying. You roll. The whole point of it is to capture the conversations that take place during the breaks. So I want to roll on them, and then after the fact, if something's not appropriate.
Right.
To disseminate, we will keep that out.
She said.
Or if we need to bleep something or whatever you need to do in the editorial process.
But Jim can't
T-bone.
Be.
T-Bone. T-Bone's in charge of it.
Yeah, Jim.
I just nominated him.
Jim cannot
cool.
be involved.
We'll stay here at 5 o'clock every night.
No, T-Bone, not you.
You won't have to do anything, Jim. And I'll
you
tell
know what,
you something
Jim,
else.
Feel like your job. 800 other people would do it.
And here's something else, Jim. You're not invited to participate because all you do during the breaks is come in here
bitch.
And talk about work right. and try and get us focused on the show.
Yeah.
And that's not what we want. And that's not what the people want. Well, let's come in here and try and do good radio. Shut up. You
radio.
Bore me. With your
team logo pullovers.
Ugh.
Can't wait for baseball season to see the red one. He's going to wear his red Red Sox pullover.
You know what? Let's do the first one. You know what? We'll do it ourselves. We'll do it all.
Hell yeah.
We'll do it all ourselves. We'll do it all ourselves. We'll do the and we'll, this next one, we're going to talk about how much we hate you. That'll be the first one.
No.
And we'll post it ourselves.
I hate Jim.
I do.
I don't even know how we get on to some of our topics. And it was the most spirited 3 minutes of discussion we've had today. I can tell you that. It was about boats.
I went to the boat show last night.
That's randomly.
That's
about
how
boats.
It came up.
Oh, that's right.
And I just said, boy, you think you'd like boat ownership or you know someone with a boat or... You know what? This year I might buy a boat. You go there and you see what a kick in the nuts it is and how expensive boats are.
Best thing to have is a friend
like,
with a boat.
Like, why even have that boat
It's
show?
Not good to have a boat. It's
you
good
go
to
that
have
boat
a friend
show,
with
nobody,
a boat.
Then, nobody there can afford those boats. Nobody there?
Well, I mean, somebody can afford the boats. They wouldn't sell them otherwise.
I know that, but you'd be surprised because, like, we go down to Cape all the time and you'll pass some of these marinas or
pace
some
of play
the,
be damned. This is a better
yeah.
discussion.
But we'll see
go
some
on.
Of them.
They took out a second mortgage to buy a boat.
Yes!
Right.
Colin, yes.
And you see some of these boats sitting in the boatyards there, and we've been going down for like 3, 5, 6 summers now. The same boat, brand new boat.
Well, it's not a brand new boat anymore. It's not 2019. That says 2014 on it. We're still going to sell it as a brand new boat because the sticker price, there's no hours on that engine. You're going to try and sell me in 2018 a new boat. Here we go. Yep.
Try and sell a car from 2014 that hasn't been driven at the price was selling for
new.
Well,
boats are
go bleep yourself.
You don't understand, sir. Boats are different.
No, they're not. Right,
these boats are made.
No, they're not. They're
it's
different.
Unsinkable
the
boat.
Only reason they're different is because you say they're different,
yeah.
Mr. Boat Salesman.
Yeah, Mr. Boat. You know what? Let that boat sit there, and I'm not going to touch it. Nobody else is. Nobody else is stupid enough to come down here on vacation buy your freaking boat.
I just don't get it. I don't get why they're so damn expensive. Why the hell are boats so expensive? Someone's going to explain that fact. Why? Why is your boat this much money? It certainly didn't cost you that much to manufacture it. No way.
Right. Like the equivalent of the cars that we drive. If you want that level of nice in a boat, it costs you, what, twice as much as the car would cost?
Oh, easy.
Right?
Easy. Oh. No, probably more than that. I think it's more than that, Hardy.
Storage,
I think you're underselling it.
Winterizing. Getting it ready.
And the season
the
here
oil.
Is 10 weeks.
Oh.
I mean, it's a 10-week thing.
It's like, bam.
It's 20% of the year. 20% of the year.
Our kids are in school until the 24th of June. Then you got a week to kind of decompress after school. Then, bam. Happy 4th of freaking July. Then summer starts. And then football season starts. It's over. It's a one-month summer for me. That's it. Then bam, August is here. We're going back to school shopping. Jim Lath goes shopping for his kids. Like at the end of July, they start packing stuff. It's crazy.
Is it the floating thing? Is it because they have to float? I don't know a lot about boats, but I understand that
the maintenance, bro.
Drowning prevention could make the cost rise. Cars don't have to float.
You know what else they do? On Sundays, you'll see it on the NBC Universal channel that they don't put us on, that streaming thing.
What?
Or whatever. We should be on simulcast, whatever you call it. The TV part.
NBC Sports.
Yeah, whatever. I don't even know the name of it yet. They'll have ship-shaped TV on. And I'll sit there and I'll watch it. And you see the amount of engine parts and what it takes and the upkeep for these things and resealing your deck. It's just so many little nicks and things you need to buy for it. The ropes, you need new ropes every year. I'm there last night, and there's like
what are you spending
25
rope?
Different types of boat ropes. You just dock ties, and fenders, and just, wow, you really need all this, huh? Oh, here's a new mat. Well, it's specifically shaped for the back of your boat. When you put it down, you stick it, and we put it's double stick tape, and you can reapply it every year, and it's about every 3 years you need to replace it. So I'm going to pay $13,000 for that, and then do it again in 3 years? Like the amount of, I'm not saying boat ownership is bad.
Tom in Worcester, why owning a boat is bad. Tom.
Here we go.
Break out another 1,000.
That's boat. What boat stands for.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll tell you what. Hey, I invited you guys last summer down to come sailing. I got a 40-foot sailboat that I bought.
Oh, wait, I don't remember this invite.
Do you sail? Do you let the wind do the work?
The wind, the water, and the waves? Isn't that breakthrough that I
do you
sail?
Do you like tomatoes on your salad?
It's a lot of fun, and when you actually get to go sailing, but most of the time, I'm just polishing things, cleaning stuff.
Yeah.
You're in the ocean, so everything's salty, and everything rusts and breaks down.
It sounds awful.
It's not just the water, it's the salt.
Now I'm thinking of rust and salt.
It really is.
Now I'm thirsty. But,
you know what else I want to know about a boat, Beetle? You know what else I need to know? Why is it that you can't ever wear shoes on a boat? You ever watch Below Deck? I like Below Deck.
I love Below Deck.
Below
Deck's
good show.
I watch that with the wife all
but
the time.
But here's people out
that's
on
nice
this
boat, though.
Yeah, a multi-million-dollar boat. What's
it's
first
like
20
grand, 20 grand for
so,
the weekend.
What's first thing you got to do when you go on the boat?
Take shoes off.
Yeah, I'm like, really?
You have to have boat shoes.
$10,000, $20,000, $50,000 a week for this boat, and I got to walk around barefoot all the time.
Like
by the way,
Yacht Rock Friday
we're doing
here.
Yacht Rock Friday here today. We're going to do Yacht Rock music from this point forward.
I love this show.
I love it too.
I love everything about this.
I got people serving me a 5-course meal barefoot.
Right.
Can we put shoes on this boat? Is that allowed?
No, I like barefoot shoes.
No.
I don't like the barefoot thing.
Well, this is cool. This is what you can do. You can make adjustments like this and call audibles when you do live local programming on the radio. This is awesome.
Jim's looking at me. I don't know what. What?
Does Zoe just say, I like barefoot shoes?
Yeah. I'm glad you caught that.
John and Stoneham on boats. John.
The dumbest thing you can do, the dumbest, if you live in the Northeast, is buy a new boat. Dumb.
Yep.
Never
I agree.
Buy a new boat.
Never.
Dumb.
Yeah, but then how do you know the engine wear and tear?
Okay, so they have this computer hookup that you can put on the engine, and any marine surveyor will do it. You can figure out
what's that cost.
What's that guy
give me
run?
Give me money.
And by the way, can I just head something off in the past right now? I recommend to everybody
right now,
go to the boat show this weekend and buy a new boat. They're an annual advertiser with us. Love the boat show. Everyone go buy a new boat. There. I think I took care of us there. Now go ahead, please, sir. What are you saying?
He's not there anymore.
Yeah, I want you to go there and tell me what
Frank in the car. Hi, Frank.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You guys sound like Fred this morning. It's Fred's Friday freakout session.
It is. It's weird. It's
maybe.
A weird
well, yeah,
it's
something
a boat.
Like that.
It's like
yeah.
raining, but it's not. It's weird.
Yeah. Hey, here's the thing about a boat. I grew up on the beach. I never understood the boat thing because it's like, hey, let's all cram into the bedroom and then
right.
get someplace where we can't get off. Like, okay. You get sick of it. You can't get
let's
off.
Float around right. in the bedroom.
Here's what happens. And we have this in our neighborhood. We got three families that own boats, and it's called the Sheldonville Yacht Club. They nickname it, and they put it out there. And they all get together, and they pack their cars. This is people that don't have beach homes or have the ability to go to rent a beach. So you spend all this money. It's sort of your second home. And then you pack in. You're sleeping 6 to 10 people on this boat.
These are
and
your
everybody's
people.
Clothes are all swampy. And this is what this guy's talking about. Then they'll go to, like, the Vineyard, but they'll tie up. And they're all like 40, they all have, like, 40-foot, 43-foot Sea Rays. But that's their weekend. That's their getaway with their kids. And they tie up and they raft. And that's all you do. But you don't go fast. You get enough gas in the boat just to chuck along.
Mark and Waylon on the no shoes on the boat.
Yeah, on a boat, most of them, they got a real, like, granular surface that will just, like, completely take off, like, the rubber on the bottom of your soles. It's, like, for attraction purposes.
Right.
And you will mark the hell out of that with, like, dark shoes. So that's
yeah. Why don't they make something on the
sneakers.
Boat that, yeah,
the black sneakers kill it.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It can float on the water, but it can't take a sneaker?
Nope.
I don't know.
Again, and at the price tag, you would think it could handle a sneaker.
Oh, do you know where it gets worse?
I mean.
Then you get to the high-end boats. You have somebody that has actual teak wood floor that they spend time oiling, and you get on there with wrong shoes.
Like a sailboat.
Oh, my God.
A nice sailboat.
Get off the boat. Like, they look at you like you got four heads.
This is a no-shoes boat.
On.
What are we filming?
What do we got? We're doing live streaming right here?
We're doing the first thing.
What thing? The Fuppets? We're doing Fuppets.
The thing we just talked about.
Oh, we're streaming live.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Look at Hardy. You look good on TV. Here we go. Huh.
So, I can move. Yeah,
this is turning into Yacht Rock Friday. This is great.
Shot. It's fine.
How you doing? Hey, there we are.
That's our cue, so
like
time for headlines.
There we go. Headlines. Hardy, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox. Down at spring training. Pitchers, catchers. They're all working out, getting ready. Reportedly, the team closing in on a one-year contract with free agent utility player Eduardo Nunez. Winter Olympics, U.S. men's hockey team bouncing back after losing to Slovenia the other night after being up 2-0 with less than 6 minutes to play. They beat Slovakia. Bruins, meanwhile, practiced yesterday. They were without Frank Vatrano and Anders Bjork. They head out to Vancouver. They will begin a 5-game road trip against the Canucks tomorrow night. NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. We got the Rising Stars game tonight. Both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum from the Celtics will participate. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Nice boat.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Yacht Rock Friday here on the Sports Hub.
Start to feel the weather turning. Seeing it be 65 next week. Possible 70 degrees next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here on your live local programming here from 10 to 2 here in the city of Boston. It's good to be with you. It's kind of a little adjustment we made.
You're going to keep doing that all day, the live and local.
Hey.
I saw our Twitter account is doing that. So the station is officially trolling.
Stop trolling,
is that
people.
Doing?
Now,
it's insensitive. Stop.
I thought we weren't supposed to do that today.
I don't know.
I got an
I'm
email
very offended
that said
now.
Don't do that,
I'm
and
offended.
I haven't.
I'm offended.
But I see 98.5 The Sports Hub on Twitter bragging and boasting about live and local
today.
Yeah,
they don't say anything.
Like, wait a minute.
They're
wait a minute. What the hell is this?
Like, either listen to us or watch koala bears eat eucalyptus leaves all day. Whatever you want to do.
Hey. Let's talk to Lee in Quincy.
Okay.
On the line.
Saw her
Lee,
last night.
How are you?
Yes.
It was great to meet you in person last night.
Good to see you and your husband. Very nice people.
Thanks. It was a great event. And I'm so glad you're feeling better.
I know.
About what happened last night.
Lee had the flu last week, and she gave me the warning of, you know, it's a good 4-day experience, and by day 5, you're feeling a little better. But I feel great.
No. I'm glad you're feeling better today about what happened last night.
Oh, yeah, that guy was an
incident. The incident.
Yeah, I saw Zoe on the way out. We saw you when I was coming out of the garage. Do you remember seeing me on the way out of the garage?
Yep, absolutely.
My hand still hurts from the high five you gave me. You were so fired up and yelling some expletives and pounding the top of my car as we walked by. You're like, stay there!
They're jerks.
We were leaving, and Chris was like, he is pissed.
Yep, I was very upset.
Yeah, so I'm glad you're feeling better today about it.
Thank you.
It was a great event last night, and it was great to meet you guys. That's all I want to say.
It was awesome.
You have a boat, Lee? You ever have a boat?
No. I feel like puppies, boats.
I went on a cruise last year. I got a big
puppies,
boat.
Puppies, boats, and pools are so much better when they're other people's, I think.
You know what? That's a great point. Because pools and puppies do go into that category as well.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to deal with a pool.
You don't want a dog.
Like, you have
a
pool, Jim has a pool. Wouldn't it be great if, like, you had your best friend live next door with a pool and you never had to deal with any of it?
Like, here's my concern. Like, here's my concern,
my best
too.
Friend lives next door, and he's got a huge pool, and I'm free to use it whenever I want, like it's my own. That's the best.
I love pools.
My in-laws.
Excellent.
Yep.
Right.
They come over all summer.
They love your pool.
They fire up the grill, they swim in the pool, then they leave.
You ever come home?
It's great.
You ever come home, and all of a sudden there's people in your pool, and you're like, what's going on here?
That's why sometimes we'll just rope them in, they'll come in, and then my wife and I will be like, yeah, we're going to go out for a little bit. You can watch the kids.
See, now that's a fair trade-off, though. But you ever see your father-in-law pouring a little shock in the pool? No.
No.
No, it's all on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever see him in there vacuuming the pool?
What it's called, though, is when the water gets a little bit stagnant, your sides will get a little bit slimy, and you'll start to coagulate algae, like the green stuff on the sides.
Yeah.
So I'll call the neighbors, hey, if we're down to Cape for an extra day or two. Hey, it's hot outside. Why don't you guys go over and do a couple cannonballs in the pool? Go have some fun.
Yeah, get that water moving.
I'm in there stirring it up. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, oh, it's so nice letting us use the pool. I'm like, no, I need you over there to circulate the pool. Just get in there, move around a little bit. Hey, and that brush that's there, if you don't mind scrubbing the steps right
there. Give it a little.
Yeah. And there's some beers in the fridge out there.
Give it a swab or two.
Yeah,
give it
a little rub. A rub.
Swab.
Yeah. And if there's any grass in those bucket strainers, just pull it out and throw
puppies,
it out.
Puppies.
Here's the thing. They
had a pain in the butt to deal with, right, in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I watched
Wicked. That's why Hardy got rid of his.
Yeah.
It wasn't a puppy.
He had a spaz
dog. That
dog
was vicious.
That dog was evil. Our dog's great. Bentley, he doesn't do anything. He's awesome. He's
never
grown.
He's great now. He's full grown now.
But we used to have bulldogs. We had 4 bulldogs. Oh. And we don't have any more. Because they only last like 6 years. They health problems and...
And they sleep like 18 hours a day.
They got that sleep. They have no neck.
They can't breathe well.
It's like, wow.
So it's not a restful sleep.
No.
That's why they need more.
No, that is. It's part of their problem. That's why they have short lifespans.
Right. So then we ended up getting Bentley. And Bentley's great. You know, he sleeps all day, too. But he's never had an accident in the house. Bulldogs, they crapped all over the house. Peed all over the house. So I watched Wicked Tuna. And this guy, TJ. So TJ, the big fat guy that's one of the big fishermen for Wicked Tuna, his boat is... I forget the name of the boat.
So just
it's
worked
a big
all three
square
of
boat.
Jim's head is going to explode.
We do a clam bake next segment.
Yeah, yes. Well, we're having a company clam bake. Right. I got an email about that in June.
Hey, coffee maker works.
See that?
Are we really having a clam bake here?
Yeah, they're clam
Shut
bake
up, what?
On an island, one of the islands, Boston Harbor,
like Plum Island,
June 21st. Market calendars. I swear to God,
I love this new company.
I never got a clam bake at the old place.
No. I didn't even get one of those damn things. I've been at the company longer than 10 years.
Yeah, those glass plaques. Yeah. I never got one of those.
I didn't either.
And you're 9 years.
So back to Wicked Tuna. And I'm watching. TJ Ott is the one of the captains, big heavy guy.
Yeah.
And he's got this Rottweiler on deck with him. And it's his buddy. And it's just like his kid. They treat the dog like the kid. They're out at sea for like a week. Where's the dog crap and pee?
I don't know. You'd have to ask
and that's
him.
A Rottweiler. And then they catch the big tuna and they let the dog eat it. You know, like Licky's licking the tuna when they bring it on. It's all blood everywhere. Then they throw him a piece of fish. Like that dog's going to smell. Like where do you let the dog go to bathroom? Out at sea?
I don't know. Right on the deck. I don't know. Oh, he goes and they fling it into the ocean. I don't know.
I don't want that on my boat. Don't put the dog on the boat. Why would you have to let somebody at home?
Well, their
watch
boat's
the dog?
A little bigger than your boat.
But still, the dog's going to crap on the boat.
Okay.
You got to wash it off.
All right.
It's awful.
I don't know. George in the car. What do you know about that? Yeah, you got to go.
George.
Adam in Lowell. Adam.
Hey, guys, how's it going? A lot of negative boat people, but pontoon. I got two words for you. Pontoon boat.
Ah, party boat. Oh, yes.
Pontoon boats are awesome. You go up to the Winnisquam.
On the lakes.
Area.
Yes, sir.
I'm on the smaller one. I'm Silver Lake. It's a small, it's more of a puddle than a lake, but we got a sandbar in there. You get polluted on,
like
on
sandbars.
A pontoon. It's the best.
Gorgeous. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I was telling Hardy off the air that is the best bet for boats in New England.
Blood
is
time.
Having a boat on one of the lakes in New Hampshire or Maine.
And then
best
you do
boating
it,
experience
you do
in
it,
New England.
Chet Ripley, Great Outdoors style pontoon boat. You cruise the lake in style.
Yep.
You take the barbecue
yes.
out there.
Right?
You know, you fish off it. You swim.
Right,
off
you go
of
out
it.
To one of these sandbars where it's, you know, 3 or 4 feet of water.
Right.
Bledsoe has a diving board on his pontoon.
You tie up with other boats for the day.
Yes.
Diving board on it. He until has a diving board, a grill, and a keg.
Right up until Uncle Roman shows up and gets the kids a kick-ass jet boat, and
yes.
then they don't want to go out on the pontoon. Tune boat anymore.
But Great Outdoors, John Candy. It's a good reference right there. So we go out and do this this special for Bledsoe out of Montana. He's out there at Whitefish Lake.
Yep.
This is at the base of this gorgeous mountain glacier. And pull up to the house. And I'm like, you got a boat, right? He's like, yeah, come on up back. He's got a pontoon boat, fully decked out, with a diving board on it. He's got 2 ski boats and 4 jet skis, all like the ones you drive up
does
right,
he even
right on
use
the dock.
Them? Does he use
oh,
them?
Yeah.
Or does
oh, they totally use them.
Yeah.
So he goes, come on, we're going to go on the pontoon boat. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. What do you want, some steaks? He's got a grill on there. So we're cruising around a lake. And I said, where's the beer? So he's got this netted, he's got a net that he throws overboard off the back because the water's so cold coming off the glacier. And this is in the middle of summer. It's like 85 degrees out.
Yeah.
But you get in the water and you go 3 feet down in water. It's like ice cold water. It's unreal. So he tows the beers in a net behind the boat.
Underwater.
Ice cold. And they come out. I'm like, this is living, baby. Oh, yeah, living. Yeah. Unreal. Pontoon boats are the best, man, because you could cruise at a low speed. Anybody, kids can drive them. Let your 8-year-old kid drive the boat.
Definitely.
I mean, it's just because you're not going to hit anything. They're square, and it's like driving a big Lego, big piece of Lego. Just get out in the middle of the water.
George
and
the
drive.
Car is back on the line. George.
Yes.
Go
yes.
ahead.
I wanted to comment on the why boats are so expensive. One of the reasons is the structural integrity of the hull, because if you ever go out in a boat.
That was going to be my guess.
In kind of rough weather. Them things are up and down and really slamming off the water, and it's constant.
It's got to be seaworthy.
The only
see,
thing that takes a beating is the tires. That hull
right.
is constantly having pressure on it, up and down, side to side. So they have to make it structurally sound so that, I mean, for years it can take that pounding without cracking or splitting.
Yes.
And there's a big difference between lake boats and sea boats. Like, the lake boat bottoms are flatter because you don't have the type of wakes and... You know, waves that George is talking about, the up and down and in and out and side to side.
That's
good. Structural integrity, though.
That's good hull talk. So, yeah. You know what? Yeah, I'll take it back. If your friend's a good sailor and the craft is seaworthy, then yes, I will go sailing. I will sail.
Do you let the wind do the work?
Yes, that's my secret.
Right.
All right, before Jim kills us, I am going to get back to pace of play.
Just, oh, great.
And you know what? I don't hate
Jackie
Jim
Bradley?
Anymore.
And Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, Jim gave us... 3 segments.
Our
today.
Intern from last summer said, he just texted me, he said, hey, I'm at my desk. This is the best radio you
thank
guys
you.
Have done since
thank
we did
you,
an hour on Shark Slash.
Because it's real.
Thank you.
Because it's real.
The struggle is real.
But I know this pain.
I want somebody
Jim.
To answer me this, too.
I want to thank Jim right now, like my kids.
Listen, there's no big topic today. There's nothing really going on. All right.
Okay.
I don't know.
What,
the boat
I don't
show's here.
Tactics.
People are getting excited for summer. People want to talk about this. If we're doing this boat talk, I want people that are...
If the Wickersham article came out today and we're talking about this, then I'm upset.
Right.
Yeah, that's not happening today.
But
right.
if I want people that are into paddleboarding, if people maybe are selling
where
that,
did that
why,
come from?
Why are my kids' paddleboards so expensive? It's a freaking... just a board. Why are paddleboards
Beatles
like $700,
predicting breaking news
$1,200?
Beatles predicting breaking
no,
news.
No, I said we're
going to
have something that falls into our lap, is what I said today.
That's
what it might have been the boats. I said we will have a topic fall into our laps.
Boats.
I thought you meant like a sports... news item.
So tired of sports.
Yeah. It's really the only problem with this station is too much sports.
Zolak.
A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
I got
got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today.
617-779-0985. About 3 o'clock and the city's still on. Can I continue my opening thought on Rob Manfred?
No.
I must.
You have to?
I must.
Yes, go ahead.
He said yesterday there will be rule changes to improve the pace of play before spring training games begin, whether or not he receives the permission of the players. He said he's not concerned with the number of unsigned free agents in his press conference. He said things are slower, but he thinks they'll all get signed. And oh, by the way, we're going to force these rules on everybody whether or not you like them. There are going to be rule changes, Manfred said, with respect to pace of play for the 2018 season. We'll know about those rule changes before we start playing spring training games. One way or the other, those changes are going to be as a result with the MLBPA. It's either going to be a specific agreement on specific rule changes, or there will be rule changes we put in place as a result of the provision of the basic agreement that allows us to make that change. So he's saying, no matter what I do, it's legal. Whether or not we come together and agree on something, or I just put them in place because our CBA allows me to just put them in place. He even went as far as to say, we have delayed taking any action. We have made it clear from the very, very beginning that our preference was to have an agreement with players. And in fact, we have significantly altered our substantive positions based on input we've had from players. That's the bargaining process. My advice to the players, though, would be to get to that table quickly. Because if you don't, if you just ignore the guy and you just put it off, he's going to put in some rules that you don't like.
Yeah, it's ignorant. It's ignorance on behalf of the players and the Players Association.
That would be my advice if I were advising them.
Right.
My wish is that they continue to ignore him and he shoves it right down their throat. And says, too bad. You idiots didn't want to talk about it.
Try to give you guys some common ground on this. You guys wonder why there's a reaction to the free agency and maybe why there's a little bit of a market correction here and prices coming down. Well, it's on you then. I'm here to work with you. And he's tried it. Give him credit for that. Something's got to change with this game. Something has to change drastically. Can't have 4-hour games. Kills the sport. Absolutely kills the sport. And the fact that he recognizes that is a good thing. And if you don't want to come in the middle and meet in the middle, shove it down their throat. I'm all for it.
You know what I can't
put them on a pitch clock.
Understand is how do these players not realize that if the game
so
is a better product and the game then in turn makes more money and has more fans,
because it's how
that
they
will
up.
All make more money.
Yeah, but they don't look at it that way. They're like, I'm not changing. It's the way I was taught to play the game. This is what I'm doing. Stubborn. See, the union's always been the best union in all the sports because everything's guaranteed. Kicks ass. It really does. But don't be ignorant. Don't just ignore a problem. It is a big problem. Pace of play is a major problem in this game. Everything's popping now. Everything's popping fast. People want fast stuff. But if you're going to invest and you're going to spend money on players and the game is going to be a slow-moving game, you got to meet the guy in the middle somewhere. Can't wait to see him. Just put it in. Get me here.
Jackie Bradley Jr. openly disagreeing with Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, saying, quote, everybody has their own perspective. This in response to Betts and Bogaerts' comments that last year there was tension and problems.
Yeah.
He says, everybody has their own perspective. I had fun winning 93 games. I don't know how they felt.
Wow.
But we were in first place, won the division, didn't get as far. We got beat by the champions, but I enjoyed it.
See,
I hate that, the we got beat by the champions thing.
It's like,
stop it.
It's like you accepting,
it's not in the championship.
You accepting defeat.
Yeah.
That's you never accept defeat.
You guys got steamrolled in the first round again. Stop it.
Two rounds before they won it.
Please.
Champs did beat us, though.
Oh,
at least
we
lost to the champs.
They were the champs.
Yeah. Hey, when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl, did you feel better about it? Because you lost to them? No. You get pissed. See, but that's something there with Bogaerts, too, going back to it last year. You talked about,
what
this guy is a
crappy attitude.
Out.
We got beat by the champions.
Should have dealt this guy.
No, he has great defense.
Yeah.
He's great defense. Ooh. Which he does. Fabulous defense. but one of the most overrated players in baseball. Yahoo Sports.
Google Eyes. Ooh, I'm watching you. Motivate me. He's gonna have 50 points to his hitting average. Yeah.
Did that team look like it was having fun last year?
No. The team didn't want to talk to anybody.
Is it a problem if he had fun? If everyone's like not having fun, and he's like, I'm having a great time. Maybe he's the problem.
Isn't he the little picture guy?
Maybe he is the problem.
Isn't he the one that does the little picture
thing? Maybe he's the guy. Maybe he's the guy that's causing others to not have such a good time.
Struck out three times. We lost. Yeah, I'm having fun.
I had fun.
Maybe he's the reason why, other guys are not having such a great time.
Hey, what are you going to do? We lost to the champs.
Lost to the champions. We won 93 games. You know how many days? You might as well say, you know how many days we were in first place?
See, and I heard Shaughnessy today, too, with Toucher and Rich. He's like, yeah, they're down here covering a team and still the same team and we can do this and that. And they're going with fellas. They're going to win 93, 95 games, but... Problem is, you wake me up when the playoffs start, because until they prove they can do in the playoffs, really, what they do in the regular season doesn't matter. Like, that's the Patriots' attitude. That's his tomato can theory. Like, wake me up when the playoffs start, divisional round. So now you're just telling us, just don't watch then, Dan? Because it's not going to matter until the playoffs start, until they prove it? Win two back-to-back divisions in a row. Can't do anything in the playoffs, though. That's when it matters.
Got beat by the champions, though.
93-95. That's
beat by the
thing.
Champions.
What did he get, 93, 95
pins? 93 wins, got beat by the champions.
Now,
I had a ton of fun.
Now we're back to counting wins in the 90s. Yeah.
Shouldn't that season have left some level of a sour
taste
in the players' mouths? Just a little bit.
I'm going to go with Betts and
Shouldn't
Bogart
they have walked away from that season going, wow, this was a disappointment again? Nope. Not
you know
Jackie
what?
Bradley Jr. He
you
had a
what?
Hell of a time.
You know what?
We didn't get to the end, but
what
hey,
are you talking
we got
about?
Beat by the champions, guys.
What are you talking about?
93 wins. Had a great year.
If you're talking about superstardom or guys in the league that you looked at, this guy could be potentially pretty damn good. It's Bogarts. It's Betts. It's not that guy.
He's a guy who settles.
That's a guy. If I'm sitting there and I'm management, or if I'm Dave Dombrowski, or if I'm a member of the Red Sox, I'm sitting back and I'm watching the comments by Betts and Bogarts. Good, good, good young core guys. Why did Jackie say what Jackie said today? I don't like that. I don't like that reaction. That's a red flag. It's a red flag.
I have nothing wrong with those two guys coming in and saying, you know what, there were some problems here. Yep. We got to sort that out. It was evident that there was something weird about that team. And the way they flamed out again at the end. And it's been well documented. It's been reported on. It's been covered. And now you had two players on the record. And then you get one of those other young players in the mix going, nah, everything's fine. I don't know what those guys were doing last year. I know what I was doing. I was enjoying the 93 wins. I don't think that reflects well on him. Chris and Peabody, what do you have for us today?
I got a couple of friends down in Rockport that have nice boats. And if you wanted to look at them picking up, it's under FV William Drohand. If you pull it up on YouTube, you see him leaving Yarmouth, Maine, and he bought a 43-foot custom Lowell. It took him a long time to build it, but it's a beautiful YouTube shot. And
like YouTube. Do you have that on your smart TV at home?
Oh, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
YouTube,
sorry?
Do you have it on, does your smart TV, do you have a smart TV?
It was F.V. William Drohan. That's what's on YouTube.
Okay, hold on. F is in Frank.
Yep, V like Invicta.
Fishing Victor. Fishing vessel.
F.
Foxtrot.
Frank. Victor. Charlie.
How do you spell Drohan?
Drohan. So it's F.V. William Drohan. And if you go to the minute
Delta
mark,
Romeo
shut
Oscar.
Up,
if you go to the minute mark, you can get a close-up of the boat swinging by there. It's a beautiful boat. It costs them $500,000.
No, thank you.
Again, half
my
a million
point.
Dollars.
Go a minute in on the video, though.
Yeah.
Move it
over.
The 60-second mark.
It's a nice boat.
You looking at it?
Oh, there it is. There it is. We've got it up here. Let's go to the...
Looks good, doesn't it?
Half a million for that.
How's the hull?
This out of Rockport, this thing's $500,000?
Yeah, because the bottom from the water line down, right. From the water line down into down, it's a beast. It's really huge underneath the water.
Right.
And now, the same guy had a boat that blew up in Rockport Harbor, and I can tell you how to look at that. You just go to Boat Fire.
Boat Fire. So that's like hockey fights?
Is
like that hockey fight
hold
site?
Hold on.
Write this down.
Boat Fire in Rockport, Mass. It's the same kid.
Is there any backslash?
Yeah, well, if you go to 3:15, you can hear it making a lot of noise because a tank blew up on it.
Okay. No way, they have it on. You can see
how much was that boat?
Watch the sound.
That was a $300,000 Beal, a 38-foot Beal. So you just go boat fire in Rockport, Mass, and it'll bring it up, and then you go to 3:10, and you can hear it popping.
Yeah. Chris, you know your boats,
huh?
You know your boats.
Yeah, well, a little bit. But anyway, you're gonna put boat fire in Rockport, Mass.
I got it right here. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Do you have it at 3:10?
We'll go to 3:10 right now. Zoe and I will do it together.
Oh gosh.
Jesus.
Wow.
Look at that thing. Look at
that's
smoke.
Not good. That thing's burning up.
Yeah, so that burned, and then yep. And then as a result he had to get a new one. But the thing is that
so baby
you
got burned.
Can't drive that boat after it blows up.
How long does it take to get the money once you have to claim it through insurance? Like
that I couldn't tell you. I never asked them.
For inquiring minds.
But I'm down on the dock in the wintertime, and they come in the dock.
Yep.
And, a lot of times it's about zero out, and a lot of times, the wind's blowing at about 10 knots.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then when they come in, the boat is completely covered in ice.
How do you get the ice off? Is it like when you're on an airline and they de-ice the plane?
They a little scraper.
No, the thing is that they have rubber boots on, and then the back of the boats is open.
Oh wow, Chris, that is quite the story. That's stern, open
that's
stern,
starboard side.
No,
rubber boots and ice.
Back, aft,
that's slippery.
Aft end of the boat.
I never understood that. Won't you just go front, back, right, left,
fore and aft, bow and stern.
What's bow and stern?
Starboard, port. What else do you need?
Jim's mad now.
Poop deck.
Dude, get your headline ready.
Dog. That was a good call. Where's
the dog?
Where's
the dog? Where's the dog on the boat?
What if it's icy? Then what do you do with the dog?
Party has headlines.
Dog pees in the car.